Right. This conference is being recorded. Strategic Attraction in Action. January 6th, 2015. So the common thread that I'm seeing here is transition, change. You know, I want to go in a new direction, but how do I make the choices? How do I make the right choices? Well, the way that you make the right choices is by being able to develop your skill and ability to look inside yourself and to be able to read and manage your own inner vibration and make choices based on what's important to you. That, believe it or not, is what's underneath what Uma expressed, that when Julia Steggy, so Julia Steggy was one of our early adopters. She became certified in the Strategic Attraction Planning process and then began sharing it with her customers. She was a graphic artist, website designer, does social media, etc. She actually, we have a case study. Julia is one of those people who's just amazing. She attributes becoming certified in Strategic Attraction Planning to being the foundation that allowed her to build a $1 million business, work with people all over the world, just amazing people, and share this process with them in such a way that, like Uma said, it's very revealing, almost life-changing. And so that's that's what's happening to all of us. Our lives are changing. Transition. How am I going to make the right choice, the right decision? Well, we're about to share a process that no matter where you are with it, whether you've done it 100 times or this is the first time you've done it, what you're going to learn is the basic principle of how to make better choices based on what's important to me. So, anybody else like to share anything that you've seen so far before we dive into the Strategic Attraction Planning process? Anybody have an aha for yourself or a share?
Yeah, I just want to say, Alan, that what I love about this process, and I guess I'm jumping ahead, but it's that it's an inward-out process instead of an outward-in. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah, that's great, Uma. It's true, because it turns out that's how this world was set up. That's what makes it work. So good noticing. So we're going to go through the five steps. And basically this process, the Strategic Attraction Planning process, was introduced first in global best-selling book, Attracting Perfect Customers, The Power of Strategic Synchronicity. And one of the interesting things is, and also the book Being Attraction, What Love Has to Do with Business and Marketing, which Jan Stringer, the author of Attracting Perfect Customers, she and I wrote the book Being Attraction, What Love Has to Do with Business and Marketing. And it's interesting what Uma said. I was recently at a convention in an internet marketing convention in Los Angeles, and Jan and I were both there, and I happened to get up to the microphone, introduce myself, and say a little about the business, and talked about our two books, whatnot. For the next 3 days, people were coming up to me and saying things like exactly what Uma said. That book is so revealing. It changed my life. And then they would say, is Jan here? Can you introduce me to Jan? It was a very humbling experience. But it really awakened me to, both of us, to the realization that there are so many people out there who have read Attracting Perfect Customers, The Power of Strategic Synchronicity, or Being Attraction, What Love Has to Do with Business and Marketing, and who have discovered that it is a life-changing process. And the reason it is because it creates miracles. And a miracle is when you change your mind. So, who would like to, what we're going to do now is just go through the four steps. Who would like to step up and volunteer to be the spokesperson for the group, so to speak, because each and every one of us is going to get value from listening to whoever is playing with any one of the steps. So who would
I'll
like
go.
To, and who's that?
I'm Andrew Montia. I'm in Switzerland.
Great. And your name is Andrea?
No, Andrew.
Andrew. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Where in Switzerland are you?
I'm in the Italian part, in Ticino. I'm in a very small town, and I'm actually going to be leaving here to move to China at the end of February. So,
all right. Well, let's take strategic attraction plan to China, because we need to change the way business is done there. That's for sure.
Strategic Alan, before you get started, Andrew, I have a feeling you were in Chicago at the Hidden Riches.
Is this Carrie?
It is.
Hello, Carrie.
So back to Alan, but Andrew and I spent the week before coming down to the SACAT retreat in Chicago at the Hidden Riches conference.
That's great.
And I'm a lot better, because I was not well when I left Carrie.
Got it. Well, this is terrific. So, Andrew, thank you for expanding our group to international, and I love the China connection, because really strategic attraction planning process, our mission is, part of our mission is to transform or to really change the way business is done in the world using the strategic attraction planning process. And so, you know, thanks for being here, and you know, at the perfect time we'll get to talk. So
it's kind of, I have to say, it's kind of there's a kind of synchronicity, because I think if I'm not mistaken, Janet Ray Atwood talked about your process at the first talk that I met her at back in like 2010, which is like almost like 5 years ago, to be almost 5 years ago exact. It would have been in February that I and she talked about attracting the perfect customer. I'm assuming it's the same. It's from the same. It's from the book that you were talking about earlier. But I just find it interesting how I'm coming circle into this. So,
yeah, I wonder where she got that.
I don't know, but she talked. I think it could have been from the book.
Yeah, could have been,
because she's connected with Marcy Shymoff.
Yes, she is.
Because her and Marcy have worked together quite closely, and they're good friends. So,
well, you might say Janet Bray Atwood is the reason I'm here, Andrew.
Ah, okay. So, are you part of the Passion Test family as well?
Well, you might say that. I am the original Passion Test. I am the first person she ever shared the Passion Test with.
Okay. Well, anyways, don't let me carry on. I just add that in.
So here's the thing. Everything that you just said and that's going on is for each person on this call and listening at home. Because if you take a look at what you just noticed, Andrew, is literally the power of strategic synchronicity. So this is what's happening in our lives all the time. This is the foundation. This is what's underneath what we're going to discover in this process right now. So, for example, Janet Bray Atwood in the year 2000 was working with Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. She was their marketing director for the One Minute Millionaire book. One Minute Millionaire book, Robert Allen had met Jan. Jan gave him a galley copy of Attracting Perfect Customers. Robert Allen gave it to Janet. Janet brought it back to Fairfield, Iowa, handed it to me while we're driving up to Iowa City. I thumbed through it for about 20 minutes. I said, wow, this is exactly what I want to do. She says, oh, well, why don't you come to Houston next week and meet the author? I'm going to go do a training there. And so the two of us went and did a training with Jan. Learned strategic attraction planning. I came back. shared it with everyone that I knew in the company that I was working with. We developed a referral program that decreased our cost per closed lead from $400 to $2, and then I got fired. Company was so successful, another company came in, bought it out, fired all the managers that made the company successful in the first place. So you're following all this strategic synchronicity?
Yeah, I am.
The first person I call is Jan Stringer and said, hey, I'd like to share this. She says, well, why don't you do this? So Janet and I actually did the first strategic attraction classes in a small town, Fairfield, Iowa, where Carrie lives. And she and I did a couple of workshops there together 10 years ago.
Oh, isn't this funny? I mean, it's really, it's interesting how the universe works in mysterious ways when you're open to receiving what is there.
There it is. So that's what this strategic attraction planning process is. It's a tool that gives you access to that, Andrew. So let's take a step into that. Tell us, tell us a little bit about your business. What do you do?
Well, okay, my main one, which is not the focus for this call, is I'm an actor. I'm in entertainment. My secondary, which is where I'm going to focus on, is as you gathered from the beginning when I introduced myself from Carrie, I'm a passion test facilitator, and I love inspiring people to transform their lives into something even better. And recently a friend of mine said, oh, you know what, you're a life and communication skills coach. And so that was like, and being an actor, you need sort of something secondary. And I love to inspire people. And so I'm starting to sort of brand myself as a life and communication skills coach through various different processes like the passion test and educational stuff that I've come across that could be very useful to help people on the road to get to where they want to go. I especially love the passion test because it's a very heart-based process. And I'm also into human, I've gotten into the human design as well.
Perfect.
And I am going to China to teach English to Chinese.
Great. So you're going to China to teach English as a second language.
Yes.
Great.
And in the process, I hope to be inspirational to the students that I teach.
So has anybody else noticed a common thread in what Andrew, his conversation was here? Okay, it's going to come out. Actually, this is just so great. All right, so teaching English is a second language in China. Life and communication skills coach. Actor. So it doesn't seem like Andrew, you know, really has, you might say, a business that he would focus on. But what we're going to discover here, that there is something really clear that he can put all these seemingly disparate pieces together and focus on. So, Andrew, what, in your own words, if you were to put all this together in like one sentence, what do you want to do?
Well, as I said, my main goal and dream and my top passion is as an actor.
Actor.
Entertainment.
Great. So do you see everybody, it's like everybody knows, well, actor, that, you know, that's not a business, is it, Andrew?
Well, you know what? Actors, we have to put together a business plan. It is a business because we are in charge of our own career. So when it comes to attracting the perfect customer we have to find the right production company that is looking to hire someone with like my the look that the person has. So like with my look, I'm a quirky sort of geeky person. Thing is, people don't look at actors as being they think it's just a hobby, but it does take work for actors as well, because we're entrepreneurs.
Yeah, so,
we're in charge of our own career. I mean, sorry for interrupting you.
I was just going to say, you have a real clear picture that what you do is work, and it's what people, that's what people think business is about. When I say about a business, it's like, you know, it's selling something. Okay.
Well, we have to sell ourselves to producers, directors, casting directors.
Exactly. So this is what I'm kind of getting at, is that as an actor, you have all the natural resources that are necessary to have a successful business. All that's required is to bring a focus to it, which is what we're going to do right now. And in other words, all these seemingly disparate pieces that you've just expressed, seems like actor and inspiring people and, you know, life and skills coach and teaching English in China, they all seem to be, you know, not connected, but they are. And there is a business in here. There is something that Andrew can sell and fulfill on his number one passion. Actually fulfill on all of the top five passions when you actually get to it. So,
yeah.
Let's take a look at the first step of how to get there for Tony, how to get that clear and focused, and this is how you do it. So, if you did have, let's just say you had a package, you had a product to sell, okay? Right now, maybe don't know what that looks like, right?
Yeah.
Okay? So, choose, you want to call yourself a life and communication skills coach?
Is it? For this exercise,
yeah.
We can do that, yes.
Yeah.
Just for this exercise, let's do that.
Yeah.
To make it simple and easy for the listeners.
The principles and the process that you're going to experience, if it works for life and communication skills coach, it's going to work for actor. It'll work for teaching English as a second language in China. It'll work for, you know, personal relationship, whatever category you end up, you know, picking. It'll work for all of those. So let's just start with life and communication skills coach. Can you already see how, you know, that is something that might work for you just out of what you've just said? So what would be a type of relationship that you would want to attract?
It would be people who are looking to transform their lives.
Okay, so that's people who want to transform their lives. Isn't that interesting? Okay.
Also looking for a career change.
Mm-hmm.
Or a career, or even like it's either career change or a clarification in their chosen career.
So you see the people who are on this call. See what you've attracted already?
Yes, I can see that.
Yes. So this is what you're going to. This is where you're going to draw content for your attraction plan. The people who are on this call are your perfect customers, Andrew. This is great.
Although some of them have already are passion test facilitated, and they already do it themselves. So.
Yeah. So you couldn't sell them anything.
No, but
you have,
they're great,
you have
support
nothing,
system.
So, Andrew, I'm going to be really hard on you, okay, because I feel like we've already connected, you know, at some fundamental level. Right? So I'm just going to call you on your stuff, like, right now. So, yeah, you wouldn't have anything of value to sell to those people.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. It's, you know, I mean, I know there are people.
So this is for everybody on the call, because guess what? Everybody feels that way. Somewhere, I walk into a bookstore, who am I to write a book? Look, there's all these people who have already written all these successful books. Why would anybody want to buy a book from me? It's a common thing that we do, and we're about to just really break through that barrier, because
the thing people don't understand is I was in London at a weekend seminar with the double your income guy. I forgot his name now. He's known as your double your income guy. He was at an event, and I was talking to someone there, one of the speakers, and mentioned that I'm an actor going to LA, and they said, it can be true for anyone, okay? It's not just for actors, but the thing is, writing a book gives people gives them sort of like credibility. It's like, you wrote a book. Ooh, you wrote a book. It's like me being in a film with Judi Dench. I mean, not many people can say, celebrating my birthday, Olympic style. I mean, literally, I had an Olympic birthday. I mean, I'm doing this to inspire people that are listening on the call, if you don't mind. It's just writing.
Here's the truth, Andrew. I'm going to cut you short, because the truth is, the way that for you to double your income is not by writing a book. There's a much shorter way for you to do that. And you're going to learn right now one of the principles how to do that. And that's in this five-step process that we're about to show.
Okay, so the first process you asked me is,
Hang on. It's because the way to double your income, and this is for everybody, you have surfaced some very, very valuable wisdom. Okay, I want you to really get that and let that in. You, Andrew, have surfaced some valuable wisdom for the entire group. You have surfaced wisdom that will move and inspire everyone. Now, isn't that word inspiring something that I've heard come out of your mouth maybe four times so far?
Yes, it has.
And so the way for you to double your income is for you, Andrew, to get present to the value, the inspirational value that you have. Because that's the difference between the double your income London guy who, okay, I haven't been to his deal, but I have a feeling there's a lot of motivation involved. Get out there and write that book. Okay, now I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that's what it looks like is the thing that works. It turns out that what actually works for Andrew to double his income is for Andrew to get in touch with his value in terms of being inspirational. And look, oh my God, you're an actor. So, and then you mentioned Marcy Shymoff, right?
Yeah.
Now, Marcy Shymoff, 6 times New York Times bestseller. She is, even though one of her most, her inspirational mentor was Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
And a lot of people mistake Zig Ziglar as a motivational speaker. He was not. And neither is Marcy. Marcy is an inspirational speaker, just like you. That's why, you know, you resonate with her. That's why you resonate with a Janet Atwood. Marcy tells her own story. She moves and inspires people. When you read what she writes, she tells her story. And then she invites you to join her. She's got this whole class, along with Deborah Poneman, on your Year of Miracles.
Yeah, I heard about that when I was at the event with Carrie.
Andrew, a double your income, you get present to the value that you have. And it's benefit to others. When you do that, you won't be able to wait to speak to anybody who'll listen. You'll go out to, where is it there, in Trafalgar Square or wherever, you stand on a soapbox and just talk?
Well, I am writing my own one-man show right now, and it's kind of interesting what you're saying.
Yes, so you're on the right track. Okay, so the step number one is, what are the qualities, characteristics, and attributes of my perfect, you fill in the blank. It might be my perfect life and communication skills coach. Might be my perfect audience for my one-man act.
Yeah.
Choose one, because it really doesn't matter.
I'm going to go for audience for my one-man show, because that's right now at the forefront of what I'm currently working on right now.
Great. And because what you're going to notice, and you may be calling me back in 6 months or whatever and say, hey, Alan, man, I can't believe, you know, what you said on that call, it happened. What's going to come out of this is you're going to notice that when you attract perfect customers to your audience, your one-man act, they turn out the same process and principle will be the perfect customers for your product that you produce. That's just, it's structured in consciousness right now. And it's just waiting to come up. And so you're creating the structure that will allow that intelligence, if you will, to come up through the person, through your personality, and express itself in a way. You're creating a structure that will allow you to exchange your value for money. That's what a business is. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's a process of putting it all together to work. So it starts with one step. I want you to, now we've identified the type of relationship. So what you've really displayed is the first step of identifying what type of relationship I want to attract. It's a process. Do you see some of the trends, some of the things that happened for you just in getting to this? You had an aha opening.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
It's
audience for my one-man act. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So this is what happens, everybody, when you have this this tool to share with your customers in a way that gives you creative and imaginative questions to ask, and you make connection with people the way I feel that I'm making with Andrew right now. This is what makes business work. This connection that I'm having with Andrew, he's over there in Switzerland, I'm here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and yet I'm getting goosebumps feeling that I'm connecting with this guy. That's what we all want, and this is how it happens. You just have to have a creative and imaginative way to allow that connection to happen on a very, very fundamental level. So, Andrew, I want you to, everybody, take out a sheet of paper, and step number one is, what are the qualities, characteristics, and attributes of my perfect customer? In Andrew's case, you see how perfectly this is now for him? He now gets a very clear, to focus very clearly and specifically on attracting my perfect audience for my one-man show. Does anybody see what the value of that might be for Andrew? Anybody want to have an aha? Come on, you can speak up. I know, I can feel it out there. I can feel you thinking out there. I can feel the aha's happening.
Ask the question again. I was thinking of something else.
Well, so there was a moment for Andrew here where he got something about the value of doing this process and getting clear and focused on exactly what his perfect audience might look like for his one-man show. What would the value of that be?
Oh, well, it's clear in his mind, it'll attract the kind of people that he wants to come to the show.
Yeah, clear in his mind has an effect out there. Anybody else?
Well, you never know who's going to be in the audience, that it could lead to other opportunities, other financial backing, other you know, the show opening in different places.
Interesting. And
touching
so who's that?
More people's lives.
Yeah, who's saying
Hollis.
That? Hollis.
Hollis.
Great. Hollis. Wow. Yes. So two pieces there. You, what was it? You never know who's going to be in the room? Right?
Yeah.
Wow. That, Hollis, that is profound wisdom. When you get present to who's in the room, because that's what's underneath what you just said, Hollis. So this is where Andrew gets to say who's going to be in the room. And he gets present to that principle that you just surfaced, Hollis, of you never know who's going to be in the room. So, Hollis, you know, you, I just want to, who could be in the room? You're starting to say that. Who could be in the room?
Well, what I had said is you never know who, you know, there could be somebody who's a financial backer who could be looking for a new play. It could be somebody else who's got contacts with people in the movie business. It could be, I don't know, a plethora of different
Perfect.
Opportunities. Somebody that wants to take it, you know, some other actor who is inspired to want to take the show, you know, to New York or wherever, whatever town they, you know, work in. I don't know, there's somebody
yes.
maybe.
Well, there's also,
so
there's
Hollis,
also the.
Just let me say, so Hollis, I'm going to be as hard with you as Tony. Guess what? You really do know. And the proof is in the pudding of what you just said.
And so those are the types of people he wants to visualize or whatever to, that he wants to attract.
Yeah. So now the value of that, what we're going to see here, and this is what everybody get this principle, that when you use this tool, this is what the first step gets you present to. Who could really be in the room? Because guess what? They are. They're already there. It's just you getting present to the fact that they're there. That's the power of strategic synchronicity. The synchronicities are already out there. We're just getting strategic about it. So, wow, Hollis, that is so cool. All right, Andrew, let's
Yes.
fill your room. So, step one, one of the qualities, characteristics, and attributes, and Hollis has already, believe it or not, so you see, this is how it works. This is the connection. So Hollis has been speaking into your attraction plan. So who's in the room?
Well, as Hollis pointed out, like producers, directors, there's also casting directors, but it could also not, it could not just be to help those that can help fund me or take it someplace else. It could also be the opportunity for other roles in other projects as well.
Great. Okay, so what would a quality of someone who could be in the room be of that? Opportunity for you to be, say a little more about that?
Well, I mean, ideally, it would be great if producers, it's producers, directors, casting directors, and even actors who are influential, because you never know what can happen to someone
so
unknown.
I just want to change your speaking a little bit, because you do know. This is what's going to happen. This is who's going to show up for my one-man show. So you've just said producers, directors.
Directors, casting directors.
Casting directors.
Influential actors.
Influential actors.
There could be even people that just fund for projects. I mean, like, just like they're not. They could be like backers, like investors in entertainment.
Are you starting to get what you're doing here? This is it's no longer. Oh, I'm just going to write my one man show and see who shows up. This is the power of strategic synchronicity. And I'm sorry, Andrew, I apologize in advance. You can never go back.
Oh, there's no need to be sorry, Mister. There's no need to be sorry with me. I'd rather move forward than go back. I mean, moving forward is the whole purpose. And so
right.
I just.
So you are now the director, the producer, the actor of your one-man show, and you're filling the room with these people. Does everybody get sort of the process and the practice of step number one and what that's about? Getting clear and focused who my perfect customer is.
Yeah, I'm clear, and there's two comments to make. One is for everyone to realize that when Alan scheduled this call, he did not know he did know who he was attracting. He had it in his mind.
Okay, Carrie, that's great. Now, how did I know that?
Yeah, because you created it in advance.
I created an attraction plan for this class. I attracted all of you.
And my second point is, as I'm working on one of my plans, I basically extrapolate and readjust the wording and use some of the examples that you brought up with Andrew that now strengthen and clarify my own plan.
Exactly. That's how it works, Carrie. Really good noticing. It just gets deeper. Because what we're doing is not happening on the piece of paper that I'm writing this stuff on. It's happening inside of me. That's what Uma was saying, what she liked about it, because it was an inside-out strategy. And that's the way God set this world up. That's how it works. I change it from in here, not out there. Anybody ever try and change somebody else? Yes. Yes, exactly.
I don't know if you want to hear it, Alan, but
No. You
already know it. There's a poem of a English author that I think is it might be anonymous, but it starts out with when he was a young man, he wanted to change the world, and he couldn't make that happen. And when he was a middle-aged man, he thought if he could just change his family, then he could influence and thereby change the world. And finally, as an old man, he realized that if he changed himself, then the world would change.
Exactly. And Andrew, have you noticed how what Carrie just described has actually happened for you?
Yeah, I have. It's quite interesting.
Quite interesting. This is how it works. This is how you double your income.
Alan?
Yes.
This is Tony. I've got an observation I think might
please.
Help Andrew. I'm just listening to what the two of you have said, and he reminds me, in a way, in his career path, what he's going. There's an actor named Bo Eason. E-A-S-O-N, I believe, is the spelling.
Right.
He did a one-man play on Broadway, and he also traveled around the U.S. doing it. He used that one-man play to create and effectively become his book. Like Andrew was talking about, the one-man play launched into his consulting business, teaching people how to tell their story.
Yes, there it is, Tony. Exactly. Perfect. You know, another example of that? Anybody ever hear John Cleese? Actor?
Oh, yeah. He's well known.
Monty Python, right?
Yeah.
You know what he's made the most money doing?
Corporate consulting, isn't it?
Corporate consulting. Huh. Seemingly disparate universes. However, what he did was he took his skills as an actor you know, and this is for each of us. You know, everybody, you get it? This is not just for Andrew. We've been talking with Andrew, but this is for everybody. So John Cleese took his innate skills as an actor and as a comedian, and he spun them into gold, where, for example, he does these does for a corporation how-to videos. I remember seeing one of the – what he does is he how to do it, you know, wrong and then how to do it right. And so there's one little video on how to fire an employee. And he's – you know, he goes through the lunch line. He's got his tray, and he sees the guy he's going to fire. There's four people ahead of him. And he goes, oh, excuse me. You know, here's your pink slip. And so he has this whole this amazing corporate business where he's made millions, much more money than he ever made with Monty Python, even though I'm sure Monty Python and all the movies he did was his passion. But he spun it into being, he created a channel through which he could exchange his passion for money. And so that's, you know, that's what's available to you, Andrew, and you've taken your first step in the journey, and it is a process, and you have opened up this, seeing this process for each person on the call. So I want to acknowledge you for being, what's the word?
First up.
Inspirational. Yes.
How inspirational, of course.
Courageous, yes. Because, you know, courageous and being willing to be vulnerable, you know, and being inspirational, inspiring. So thank you for that. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time on step one here. Who would like to, now that Andrew has really opened this up, step two should be really easy. Who would like to step up and play with me with step two?
I'll go, Alan.
Great. And is that Uma?
Yes.
Great. And just as we leave Andrew, as you're playing with this, just remember that word, inspirational. It's a little tip for you in step number two. So, Uma, this should be really easy because Andrew has already, you know, just really opened this up. So tell us again a little bit about, your grief, being a grief guide and helping women, and, you know, what's that like?
I essentially love to work with women who are going through any kind of life transition with regard to loss, whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's a divorce, a relationship, childhood trauma, anything. I work with a variety of situations. And what I essentially do, it's not just about pain relief, but it's about finding the gold in the pain so they can transform their lives and make it more meaningful and purpose-driven.
Yeah. Great. I like it. Not just about pain relief. And there's two kinds of pain. And one kind of pain is because I'm in error. I have a friend who wrote a book called Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And he always used to say, if I'm in pain, I'm in error. It's because I'm basically forgetting who I really am. So I get what you do about relieving pain, and it's not just about that. It's about what?
It's about finding the use for that painful experience in your life and turning it into serving the world in a bigger way.
And what happens when I do that?
Your pain isn't wasted. So
yeah, what happens out in the world, though? What happens in my life and the world when I do that? When I turn it into serving the world in a bigger way? What shows up
helped
in my life and in the world?
What shows up in your life is the fact that you make meaning and you connect with human beings on a much deeper level because everyone has pain on this human journey.
So connection.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about connection that's so valuable, you might say?
I'd say that we are meant to help each other on this human experience, and we do that, we're able to do that in a much more meaningful way when it becomes shared human experience. So using my experience to connect with your experience and understanding that we are not separate but one, and how can I serve you and help you make meaning out of what you view as pain in your life.
Ah, so something about that we're getting it, that we're not separate. So that's what's underneath connection. That's sort of the what I'm hearing you say is that the value of connection is getting that I'm not alone.
Yes.
So what happens when I get that?
When you get that you're not alone, you feel supported, you don't feel disconnected and disengaged from life. You're able to re-engage with life through that painful experience, and therefore you're able to find gold in it because it's almost like a second chapter. It's like a rebirth of you and your true purpose in the world.
Right. And so what is that gold that I might find?
You find healing for yourself, and you're able to attract people who are also suffering the same kind of pain, and therefore abundance, because you're helping so many people that have the same kind of pain, because you've stepped into those shoes, you know what that feels like, you now have the tools to help someone else.
Ah, so the connection goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And what would you call that? I'm just curious, what is that? So you've just surfaced something really, really deep. I saw this ripple, this never-ending ripple pattern that one person can create by doing this healing work with you. So basically, you're actually the one who's throwing the pebble in the pond, if you will.
Right. I like to see myself as this giant candle, and every person that works with me is one little candle that is able to touch their flame to mine, and they carry that candle into the world and light several other candles in their own world.
Yeah, so that lights the world.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, what would you say if I asked you the question, what do you think makes you tick, Uma?
What makes me tick is really what we've been talking about, connection. I love people. I love connecting with people. I love stories. I love deep soul work.
Yeah. Okay. So is there some wordsmithing we can put together, a way of saying this in a way that, like, clicks for you? So connection. And we talked about the connection in terms of, this giant candle metaphor, and, lighting one candle. Our metaphor in the Perfect Customers book, of course, is like a lighthouse. And so you're like lighting the lights in these lighthouses. Healing is going on. Abundance is showing up. And the world is being lit up. Okay, so let me ask you this. When the world is enlightened, you might say, like lit up with all these candles, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that to you?
That is pure joy. That is the reason why I'm here.
Yeah. Ah, well, there it is. Is that it? What makes
purpose.
Me tick? What? So what I just heard you say? Anybody else hear Roman say? you know, you said, that is why I'm here, right? Well, why you're here is what makes you tick. So is that what makes you tick, pure joy?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. My joy in making, in helping others find their own joy through the pain of loss.
Yeah, so you could say that all of that is in the words pure joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, you know, you say, you know, what makes me tick is pure joy, within that is connection, lighting the candles, healing, abundance, you know, lighting the world. All of that is, isn't that sort of energetically within the words pure joy?
You're absolutely right. That's one of my big tick words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the process, everybody, how we get to what makes us tick. So, Uma, why don't you want to try that on for size? You know, say, hi, my name is Uma, and what makes me tick is pure joy. Or is there another word?
No, I'm happy to go with joy because, yes, joy is one of my five words. I work with five words. One is luminous, the other is communion, the third is joy, the fourth is flow, and the fifth is authenticity. So joy is very much part of that, my tick words, yes. So yes, I say, hi, I'm Uma, and what makes me tick is pure joy.
Yeah, how does that feel?
Feels joyous.
Yes! And it has something, it means something to you. This is everybody, this is not, you know, getting what makes you tick, and it's one phrase like this, like what Uma has just come up with. This is not something that you necessarily put on your business card. You don't put it up on a billboard in the Jersey Turnpike, although you could. But it means something to Uma. And it came from this whole conversation of, I love to work with women. Life transition, people going through a divorce. It's not just about pain relief. Finding the use for turning it into serving the world in a bigger way. Connection, healing, abundance, lighting candles, lighting the world. All came down to pure joy for Uma. And that has a value for her. And so with that, she has increased the wattage or the light in her candle just in doing this process. So that's how we work with step number two, and it is a process. Anybody like to, any ahas, anything that anybody saw for themselves? Or first, Uma, do you want to share something that you saw for yourself in just working on this right here today?
Yeah, I like the fact that we were able to crystallize into that one single word because really, like you said, it encompasses everything else. It encompasses the light, the purpose, the passion, the service. Because when people are grieving, they are the furthest from joy. And what you helped me see is I helped them find their way back to joy. And that brings me joy.
Pure, well, okay, pure joy.
Yep.
That. Way to go. Yeah, totally. You know, it's funny. I used to teach an Attracting Your Perfect Mate teleclass. And I did that for like 4 years. And I'm going to have to bring that back again, maybe in February for Valentine's Day. But I remember there was this one woman who was in the class, and she was having a challenge because her husband, she'd actually a number of years before, called her on the phone and shot himself in the head while he was on the phone with her. And she was having a real challenge with all of that, even though it had been like, you know, a number of years. And so she experienced a lot of relief, that you, like what you're talking about, by doing an attraction plan for attracting her perfect ex-husband. Yeah, she wrote me an email a number of months later and just really thanked me for the freedom that she got from the grief that she just couldn't seem to get over, and the pain that was bringing in her life, and the separation because she wasn't able to get back into back on the field and back in relationship. And so I totally want to connect with you after this call sometime when it's perfect and find out more about what you do, because that's what we're up to. Is you know, we're in the same tribe, obviously, if you're hanging out with people like Julia Steggy.
Yes.
So I want to support you in your light being as bright as it possibly can, and I just feel like there's some way that that you can support us in getting the word out to more and more women. Actually, we're actually working on a project support. We're going to do a free book giveaway and charity drive to support inspirational entrepreneurs, women, to own and operate successful honeybee farms in, of all places, northern Pakistan. So I'll have to connect with you and let you know about that, because there may be some way that we can work together and get that out there more. So, wow, thank you so much. I mean, you so Andrew took us deep, and it's amazing, because step number two is where you get to go as deep as you want. Everybody kind of notice that? And Uma, thank you for being open and willing to be vulnerable, to go deeper and getting what makes you tick, and demonstrating really the power of step number two. So in the next 15 minutes, step three, step four, step five. Excuse me. Who would like to step up to the heart seat and play with me around step number three? Is specify what you want your perfect customer to expect of you. Step number three is really where the transformation takes place. It's where we put an end to sacrifice. This is where we learn truly that it's not about trying to change that person out there, as we mentioned earlier, that it's about the if the world is a hologram, the projection room is here in my heart, and this is how we go into the projection room and change the world. So, not to get too heavy with that, who'd like to play? Who'd like to specify what you want your perfect customer to expect of you?
I will.
Okay, who's that?
This is Tony.
Tony, great. So, Tony, I've been kind of feeling you out there. Do you see how this is totally supporting you? You're kind of getting like, oh, wow, this is why I'm here. These people have been speaking to you, Tony, and the transition that you're making.
No, I realize that. Just, you know, the step one, the qualities, attributes, and characteristics, the perfect customer, I think I already have part of that more or less done. What makes me tick, and being able, and that really leads into this third thing, where you said specify what you want your perfect customers to expect from you. If I'm going to do what I'm thinking of with the community banks, I want someone with assets between $100 million to $1 billion that's growing, willing to accept innovative ideas to help grow their bank and make it more profitable. So the end game, the more profitable they are, the higher their value, in which they get, which is their ultimate payday. They want innovative ideas for them. From me,
So perfect. So those first things that you mentioned. Now you see, it's interesting that Tony, what Tony has surfaced is that step three really is connected to step number one, and they're different. Step number one is about them. Step number two is about me. Step number three is about me and them. And it's worded in a very specific way. It's, what do I want my perfect customer to expect of me? And so, Tony, what you've just surfaced is you said, I want my perfect customers to expect me to be innovative. Is that what you want? You want to be innovative, right?
Yes.
Great. So what you get to then look at is, well, what does that look like for me, for Tony? This is the thread that you're going to get to pull on that will give you a much clearer, it'll develop your skill of being clear of what it is that you want to offer. And when you develop that skill, it develops your confidence. It lights you up. So, you know, innovative, what does that look like for Tony? How do you want to be innovative?
New ideas that they can cut their cost and increase their revenues. Things that they're unaware of, basically looking at a lot of other industries and seeing what's out there, what is working. Because some of the more successful businesses, just like I was mentioning this some of the other days, I was having yesterday having coffee at local McDonald's, and one guy was just looking out the windows to God, they're going to need another window open up of all this traffic in the drive-through lane. I mentioned to him, I said, well, Stu, you know how this thing's, where they got the idea from it, and he's in the drive-thru, and it's now up 40% of their business nationally. He said, no, how? He said, they stole it from the banking industry, of all things. Do you remember years ago, banks would normally open 9 to 3, maybe open a little bit later, and then afterwards you had to go to the drive-in, like most people. And the fast food industry took that up and ran with it, and that's, you know, a big, huge chunk of their business.
So does anybody else notice how Tony has just opened himself up and shown himself to us? He used the word, I want my perfect customers to expect me to be innovative. Right? And then he tells this story of strategic synchronicity about being at the local McDonald's and noticing the drive-through, and Tony has this personal story about how the drive-through got there. And interesting, Tony, it's much like Henry Ford, the Industrial Revolution, how Henry Ford revolutionized the entire auto industry. He was innovative, right?
Right.
And how he was innovative. So what is innovative? What you just described. So here's how Henry Ford was innovative in the same way that you just described McDonald's. So Henry Ford went to, he's in Detroit, and I guess there was a big meatpacking meat processing. And he saw how they would process the cows as they would go through. There'd be different butchers at different stations, and they brought the cows to the butchers who would butcher the different parts of meat, right? This is how he was innovative. He innovated that process and turned it into the assembly line, the Ford Motor Company assembly line, which is still used today. Now that is being innovative. So do you get You get it, Tony, about how this is who you are? You're all about innovation. It really lights you up.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and so you see how you you actually introduced some very profound wisdom by sharing your personal story about, you know, at the local McDonald's. You introduced being innovative. So, you see how in step number three, you write, I want my perfect customers to expect me to be innovative,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Have new ideas. So did you get a little more appreciation of your personal value in that particular quality, that you are that?
Yeah, just looking at my notes that you, from what you were saying.
Yeah.
I believe I already have the skill, and that's that's opening up and showing me how I can I'm developing more confidence in what I can do.
Yeah. And so one of the things, for example, in our SACAT program, part of our training is to get people to to book themselves where they can, you know, be in front of a group of people and speak. And where you speak from is your personal experiences. You share your story. That inspires others.
The hero's journey.
The hero's journey, exactly. Marcy Shymoff, she's got a whole outline like that. So it starts with you getting booked. You've already done it. This is what I talked to with our SACAT participants, is you just make, you know, what you did, book somebody at lunch at McDonald's and share your story. So you are definitely on the program. This is how step number three works, everybody. Tony has displayed it absolutely perfectly and beautifully, and literally he has planted a seed. And, of course, it's a process, but he has planted a seed that can, this is how you grow your successful business. So, Tony, you've got a great, great start. And, like I said, I'm here to support you in any way that I can, and I really would highly recommend you considering being part of the SACAT program. If you need to talk to me or talk to anybody to see why that might be a valuable next step for you, I'd be happy to do that. So any questions on step number three, now that we've got 4 minutes to do step four and five? But it'll be easy. Did anybody else see how Tony just kind of, just like, you know, went right into it? What do I want my perfect customer to expect of me? Step three is, it really changes everything. Okay. Step four, declare who you have to be to attract what you say you want. This is where we get to have a little fun. So, Andrew, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So do you kind of see now how you would get to declare who you're being around attracting a perfect audience for your one-man show?
Yeah, well, for me, it'd be inspiring.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, so give me sort of a title to it. Who's someone who's inspiring to you?
My favorite actress is Julie Andrews, and for me, she's inspiring.
Yeah, I totally get that. Oh, me too. So you get us to know I'm being, you know, Julie Andrews. That has a meaning for you. That's how you come up with a being. Now, Tony, can you see how your being would be I'm being what?
Uh, being.
What was the word you came up with that you wanted your perfect customers to expect you to be?
They expect me to be innovative.
Innovative. So now you get to see I'm being the Henry Ford of community banking. That's a being, get it? Or I'm being the Ray Kroc. I don't know, of course, I don't know if Ray Kroc was around when McDonald's did the drive-by, but have you ever studied the story of Ray Kroc?
Many times.
Pardon me?
Many times.
Yeah, okay. Talk about innovative and inspirational. Woo! What an inspirational story. And many years later, what happens? His wife just recently donated $210 million to public radio, public broadcasting. Now, that's making a difference in the world.
And the rest of the Salvation Army.
Yeah, there you go. All out of Ray Kroc, who was selling Dixie cups in, I forget, Bakersfield, California, or someplace, and he meets the McDonald brothers, who had a little hamburger stand, and they had like six multi-mixers, and they were buying all these Dixie cups, and he went down there to find out what the heck they were doing. And the rest is, as they say, history. So step four is really a powerful tool that you get to use in moment by moment during the day. And I know we're right at the end of our time, so here's how I want to finish the call. All of this is really great. Can you see how we've all experienced maybe some shifts in our thinking and been inspired and moved and we're feeling better than maybe we did when we came on the call? Well, all of it gets activated by taking an action. So I want you each to think of, based on what you've what's shown up for you on this call, what is one action that you will take that will be in alignment with what's shown up for you in this call. Anybody willing to just say what's the action you're going to take?
Yeah, I'm going to commit to redoing my attraction plan for the new year.
Great. Attractive action. Way to go. Anybody else?
Writing an inspiring one-man show.
Great. And so, Andrew, that's perfect. So now what's the one next most attractive action for you to take? Writing your one-man show.
Well, it's actually performing it, putting it on.
One
for producing.
Okay, so one, like the action that you're going to take, you know, like right now.
Oh, I know, but I'm having a blonde moment right now.
So your next most attractive action might be to sit down and get clear what my next most attractive action would be. Got it?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, clarity on that, yeah.
What's my, yeah, so for you, I don't know, I can't get clear with it, I'm having a moment. Okay, so my next attractive action is to get clear on what my next attractive action will be. Got it?
Yeah.
You're never stuck. All right. So anybody else? One last burning attractive action you want to share with the group and take the energy that's been created here to support you in fulfilling on that?
So, Alan, this is Kerry.
Yes, Kerry.
And my action plan is to continue from the last call and organizing the a call like this for people in my area.
Great. So what would be the first action for you to take?
Basically, it's finishing the email to send out to invite them to a call, which I think
Perfect.
Will be on
promotional. Right, write a promotional email. And
yep.
Now, just a little tip. So here, Carrie is a certified in strategic attraction planning, and so we've been, you know, related here. So my next tip for Carrie is: so take your tracks of action, write your promotional email, and then do what with it?
Send it out. Send it to you for.
Thank you. yes.
To have you look it over.
Send it to me. Fail first with your friends for free. So that goes for everybody on this call. I really feel like we've made a great connection. And so let's just finish. I know we're like a couple minutes over. Anybody want to just share some, you know, let's just popcorn style. What did you get that was of value out of this call for being here? Anybody?
Recommitted.
Recommitted. That's good.
Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Confident.
Fresh energy.
Confident. Fresh energy. Yeah, confident. I love it. Perfect. All right, everybody. Great big group hug. Thank you so much for being here and for supporting me and being able to give my truest gift, live my number one passion and my purpose. I'm just so grateful. And again, I encourage each of you to consider looking at becoming certified in this process. And if you have any questions, just give me a call. Send me an email. I'm here to support you in any way I can. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
See you next year, Alan or Andrew.
I'm not going to be there next year.